During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Born and raised in Kansas City, he's followed the Chiefs his entire life. He has seen every single home playoff win. That's right, all three of them. 30 years later, he's still following the Chiefs. Except now, he gets paid to do it. He's our Chiefs insider, Nate Taylor of The Athletic, on the program.
You will do what you're told and like it.
No, no.
It's nothing like adding a cut mid-show to
now there's
create only just a big everybody's pissed at everybody moment here in the program.
I'm not pissed at anyone, just Curtis.
Plus, there's only that's true.
So you're saying Curtis is no one?
There's only so much space
at him,
you have.
But you're not pissed at anyone.
There's only so many characters, and the
nobody.
Date has to be in there. I'm like, how do I put? I guess I could put Spags to Renkelsey, I guess. Peeking behind the curtain, but
I don't care what you do. Just get it in there. Don't matter to me.
We'll mark that.
Is this you or is this guy in row 8 on third down? Just do what you do.
I mean, you know, if I got to figure out what you're doing, then we'll get rid of you and I'll just do it all.
Oh, well.
You know, that's
I'm out of here then.
That's but I'm not going to.
I've seen you load
so
sound.
We need you. You're needed. I'm not doing that. You're needed. Curtis is needed. If we're going to live without anybody, it's probably me. Nate Taylor's here.
Can't live without him.
No.
Oh, thank you.
From The Athletic, brought to you by our friends at Big O Tires. You got a big O no with your car? It's not a problem. Just go to Big O Tires. I know, because we had a big O no this weekend, but Big O Tires was there for us. So thank you to everybody at Big O Tires, by the way. If you want to take advantage right now, through November 3rd, you can save up to $120 on select sets of Goodyear, Yokohama, Pirelli, and Continental tires. That's $70 off instantly, plus up to $50 back by mail-in rebate when you use your Big O Tires card. That is a big-time save for you. It's only for a limited time, though, and only at Big O Tires. The team you trust is Big O Tires. For the store nearest you, go to BigOTires.com. They've got you covered, service and maintenance, as well as batteries, brakes, oil, lube, filters, fluids, suspension, front end tire repairs, and, of course, new tires as well, Big O Tires. Go to BigOTires.com to find the location nearest you, thanks to the guys up at 135th and State Line, where they helped us out. I've now been helped out by two different Big O Tires. It's good to have your car in good hands, and that's where it is with Big O Tires. Nate.
Yes.
Do you want to begin with the Chiefs, or should we have some fun?
No, let's have some fun.
Okay, let's have fun.
It's Monday. Let's get fun.
We can all agree that Sam Ellinger is a kiss ass, right?
Most of the time, sure.
I'm going to do it in the other order. Let's have 54. Let's do it in the order it actually happened, because you were out there.
Oh, I was.
I accused Sam of being a kiss ass.
can't wait for this.
Sam asked Andy Reid, well, let everybody else judge which one, me or Sam, because then Sam accused me of the same thing. We'll let you, Nate,
oh, right,
and the listeners, if you want to hit me up on Twitter at Seren Petro, be the judge. Sam asked Reid about this being the kind of team that can overcome adversity.
One of the talk here, right, is what's going wrong. You've been out of a lot worse than 4-2, right? The 1-5 start and some others. What are the traits, what are the markers that you look for a group that can overcome something?
Yeah, that's a good question. Appreciate that. That's I think staying positive is one of them, but also being real with the errors that are taking place. And this is as coaches and players. So, then you got to trust each other, and you can't lose that. If we can all do that and learn from it to make ourselves better, that's where you go from here. And it's not always, with all the parity in the National Football League, it's not always a huge thing. You know, it's the small things that add up on you, and you got to You got to fix those.
I mean, there's no way around. That was just, Coach, you've dug out of so many great holes.
And here comes
you just totally know what you're doing, don't you, Coach?
And, Coach, here comes the 3-0 pitch right down the middle of the plate.
And I'm laying it on thick because I actually didn't think it was that bad a question. Sam actually called himself out first. He's like, I don't know if that's a good thing, you know, being told
yeah,
a good question there.
I mean, there's some truth in it because, yes, that at one point in his tenure, they were 1-5 and they won the rest of the games to get to the playoffs.
It was a great save, trust me.
Yes.
Having covered that team at 1-5, because people don't even remember, because it wasn't just the 1-5.
They'd
gone 9-0 in 2013 to start, and then finished 2-5 to be 11-5, and then melted down with a huge playoff lead against the Colts. Followed up the next year to be 7-3 after a slow start of like 2-3 or 1-3 or something. 1-0-2, something 0-2 maybe, and then got to 7-3, and then melted down
to
9-7.
Got smoked on a Thursday.
On a Thursday night game in Oakland, and finished 9-7 and out of the playoffs. And then the next year they start 1-5, and Jamal Charles is out.
While the Royals are marching to their second consecutive World Series, and they were about to lose this town.
The conversation was Andy Reid does not have what it takes, and it's declining returns, and he turned that around. It's a bigger save than just 1-5. So, you know, Sam's question I don't think was bad. But I will now defend my question. I don't even know how to set it up, Curtis. What do I say?
You're asking Steve Spagnuolo.
Does it have me on it?
Yes, it starts with you asking Spags.
So am I the only one who's intrigued by the call, no call, explanation-ish thing about why there was a personal foul kind of holding? There was clearly something wrong. Mugging
that happened. He was
of the tight end to then for the first time in my life.
It boils down to an official called holding pass interference, of that, everything got turned around. Because if he'd have just said it was holding, it would have stood. But he called it pass interference incorrectly. Then they got to think, well, was it intended? And that's where it all went wrong. If he called the right thing, it'd been okay.
Yes. Well, I disagree, because I think they were saying it's not pass interference because he didn't throw the ball to him, and it's not holding because he wasn't holding when the ball was in the air.
Well, holding is holding. Yeah,
right. That has nothing to do with it.
They gave an explanation why it's neither.
Yeah.
And it was can't be pass interference because they didn't throw to him.
Right. Even though he was running a double move that never got to the double part of said
right.
And
because
the ball
he got pulled
and
the ground.
Mahomes is anticipating he's supposed to be there.
Right. So I'm sorry, like, they're wrong. Right? They're completely wrong. They're going to be told they're wrong. They're going to be told how that should have been adjudicated, because there are not many times I sit down to cover football, baseball, or basketball and I see something I've never seen, despite what the guys on the Royals broadcast, who I love, will tell you. You never know what you're going
to
see at the ballpark.
When you come to the ballpark.
I really do. I really do know what's going to happen at the ballpark. Now, I get Denny's point. Yes, there are some things where it's like, well, I've never seen it that way. Right? But I've never seen him call a guy out after he hit a home run and touched all four bases. That's what happened here.
Yeah. I mean, there's
no way, because if that was called correctly, then maul everybody to where they don't throw the ball at them, and you've done nothing wrong, and that's impossible that that's the case. So I was intrigued by this.
Even by the standards of Travis Kelce, who's generally mauled once or twice a game,
right?
Even by those standards, this was extreme.
I mean, I think he even grabbed the helmet to help throw down, which is a personal foul penalty.
I mean, these are moves that you would do on an ice rink in hockey.
Yes.
After you both thrown the gloves down. After you both acknowledged one another, we going to do this, right? Let's do this.
Again, and I'm not...
You're not running around anymore, and I'm not guarding you. Let's get it on.
And people know I frustrate the crap out of listeners because they want to talk about the refs, and I'm like, I ain't got time for that. Adapt and overcome, and still that's what the Chiefs had to do. So my point isn't really, woe is the Chiefs. They got to be better. But I'm just no way can that be that it was called correctly. No blanking way. For pick the number of reasons. However you half-ass that, and I don't appreciate CBS's complacency of not showing an overhead shot where we can see, is the mugging occurring? while the ball is in the air, right? Or before the ball. What do they want? I don't even remember which they wanted. It happened before it was in the air, while it was in the air.
Yes.
And while it went past.
Yes.
It was all.
And this
is not the first time either, Sarin, where Mahomes has recognized one of my guys has been removed from where he should be. So I'm going to throw the football.
Yeah.
Because now I've been told, based on my eyes, that we have essentially a free play, or I could take, you know, a little more aggressiveness than I normally would, because we're going to get 5 yards anyway, or we're going to get the spot of the foul.
Right. So I asked Coach Reed about it. He pretty much said, I'm a little busy with this Thursday night game, but I'll make a call.
But yeah, I'm going to call the league tomorrow.
Do we have that one?
Yeah, that's I-052.
Give me 5-2 first. So I'm trying to, you know, play this out during the course of the conversations we're going to have. And so I asked Reed if he'd gotten any more of an explanation about the call.
No, they gave me quite an extensive one on the field. I've had a chance to look at it, and I think you all have too. So I'll eventually talk to them somewhere here, but I've been trying to get ready for this next game. So,
all right, so he's a little busy, and I got it. But I'll eventually get to him. He's not happy, and I don't think he agrees with the call. Can we?
Correct. Yep.
All right.
Basically, I'm going to call the league and scream for five minutes.
And he's on the competition committee.
Right. Yeah. And just know that this play is going to be highlighted, starred, and reviewed in the owners' meetings back in the spring.
Exactly.
Now, and if you're a media member, go ahead and get ready. Let's see if it's the officiating video they send this week. If you don't know, if you're a member of the NFL media, every single week they send us at least one, usually one.
Yeah.
Sometimes two, but usually one kind of, you know, like, what? Wait a minute, how's that work? And then they explain
it, yes.
How the refs got it right. I've never had the one where it's like, and right here is where the pooch actually got screwed. He blew it.
You know,
never have I heard that video.
His forward progress had stopped before, during, and as he's fumbling the football.
Yeah, right.
But we got that one right. Forward progress was stopped.
So I think this one will be an interesting one to see if it ends up being the officiating video this week. So anyway, so I'm, you know, in my quest to see who knows and who doesn't know, I get back in after, it was actually while Coach Spagnuolo was at the podium, I was talking to Patrick Mahomes, recording Patrick Mahomes. I get back in there, it's towards the end. I don't know what's been asked. I don't think this has probably been asked, but I'm just curious. And I was curious twofold. One, if he has no idea really what's going on, I wanted people to understand that those guys are busy doing lots of things. That when the offense is out there, the defensive coach is over there coaching and doing things.
Yes.
So I said, and we'll get into it. But my point was to find out, one, are you even aware of it? Because I think it speaks to the very nature of how many things are going on the sideline if he's not at all aware of what happened.
Right.
And even how fast they're turning around to Denver. If he didn't have time, like, let's go back and look at that thing. I want to know so I could tell my guys.
Right. What
because
to do.
Let me tell my guys how to maul somebody and not get called. That's what I'd want to do.
Right.
If I'm Bill Belichick, I'm like, ooh, nice.
So if you pull him.
He's famous for mauling receivers coming off the line.
If you pull him by the back of the shoulder pads, perhaps they don't see it.
Right. So this is me trying to get that kind of information from Coach Spagnuolo.
You might have been busy, and I have no idea what I'm talking about, so feel free to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But the call that they made on Travis Kelce, where the interception that Patrick threw, and there was a flag, and then they picked the flag up because they said, well, one thrown to him, and then the ball had already gone in the air. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not privy to that play.
Like I said, I know you're busy doing other things, but I didn't know, have you ever heard a description or what is their conversation about how that works? Because they said basically the ball was going someplace else and it came out.
Was it challenged? Did we challenge it or did they?
It's not challengeable. They said it's not technically pass interference.
It's just something I'd never seen.
Yeah, I don't know the play. I don't know. So pass interference was not called and we thought it should have been called.
They seemed to acknowledge that he was taken clear to the ground, but they said the ball wasn't going to him.
Was it uncatchable?
They picked up the flag.
I didn't see the play. Yeah. I probably can't even comment on it.
I
obviously didn't see it because we're talking about it.
Okay.
Hopefully they got it right. Thank you.
the best part.
Hopefully they got it right.
The best part to me is Brad G said, okay, that's it. Thank you. We're good. Yep. No more. Thank you, fellas.
Okay. So who's the bigger kiss ass?
Narrator, they did not get it right.
Yeah. I chose the correct word listening back to it. Well, Coach, technically,
yeah,
it wasn't pass interference. But from your eyes to my eyes to everybody else's eyes, it was pass interference.
Yeah, you know.
But technically, no.
So who's the bigger kiss up?
It's still Sam.
Thank you.
It's still Sam by a mile.
Thank you. It's definitely Sam.
Yeah. I mean, you've dug out of worse holes, just, right? Right, Coach?
You were just acknowledging that he was busy. Sam was trying to acknowledge that not only was Reed busy, but he was successful at what he was doing.
Coach, you're a huge, tremendous
success. It's a
qualitative
statement.
A good-looking man, powerful, I might add.
Yes.
Wealthy beyond my knowledge.
And you've
strong
dug,
mustache
you've dug out of holes.
Game.
I mean, you've come back from losses.
I simply was saying, what a mess. Did you see it? Right. There's no compliment in there to Steve Spagnuolo.
Did you see this
traveling circus sideshow, this farcical ref crew put out there?
You didn't say, well, no, Coach, you know, with your steely-eyed resolve and clear laser-like focus.
And your ability to multitask.
That's always been a cornerstone of your amazing coaching career. You might not have seen this.
Your eyes were on your players, and you were doing the whiteboard and saying, no, when they get to the B gap, when you see the guard pull, you're supposed to do this. But also, with the eyes in the back of my head, I have now understood that pass interference is negligible.
Happiest guy with this segment? Lebo. We didn't talk about his layup he threw out there.
It's for listeners and fans, because the locker room's not open, you know, we're
today it wasn't, yeah.
You know, and that's usually the case on a Monday, whether it's a Thursday night game or early, but because the locker room's not open, you get the coaches and you just, you know, yeah, they know, we know, everybody knows.
Yeah.
Just how what's the best way to get your point across without obviously self-serving and obviously not being totally condemning them the way they would be yelled at in row 30?
And not to belabor the point, but I really do think that that's important.
Yes.
Because I would go, this is what I always say. I don't care what the rules are, as long as we're all playing by them.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't care what the sport is. Everyone's coached, or not everyone, and most people have coached some kind of sport. You know, there are different little things.
And
how are you going to call this? Okay,
fine.
We'll play that way.
Yep.
Right? So if this is how we're going to call it, then I got a way to help the Chiefs get to the quarterback. the DDT at the line of scrimmage.
You see that guy over there?
There's going to be lots of time to get to the quarterback if you maul the crap out of every receiver.
Tackle them at the line.
Hey, you see DeAndre Hopkins over there? He ain't got to do nothing but get mauled over here, okay?
Right?
Just take your hands to his chest and remove him from said play.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
They're not going to call it.
Anyone you think you might be going downfield, maul him there because the throw's going to be further down the field. Mm-hmm. You're going to get away with it. That's why I think it actually is a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you set the precedent.
But it came at a point in the game that it's just hard to ignore.
Yeah.
The momentum, change of pace, pivotalness.
Forget about the game, how it drastically altered the game. I'm just saying it drastically alters the season for the way I think. Because maul the crap out of all the wideouts if we're going back down there.
If the Chiefs end up second or say the Chiefs and Texans have the same record. The Texans may be the 2 seed because they won on Sunday versus the Chiefs, who may fall to 3 if they're both division winners. So, yeah, there's a whole NFL show called Turning Point. There's one play that literally turned the game on its head.
Maul them.
And the referees are involved.
If the Texans win the Super Bowl with a home game against the Chiefs in the playoffs en route,
mark it off
the same record.
There'll be a 30-for-30 about that play.
Was the most important play
of their season.
What if I told you that pass interference wasn't really pass interference? ESPN's 30 for 30 presents What the F? A film by Nate Taylor and Soren Petra. But you can maul them, but you can't smack them on the shoulder pad or else it gets called against you.
Adapt and overcome.
Just give me the same strike zone, man.
Yeah, Chiefs lost, but
seriously,
there's some where it's like, even Dan Fouts like, oh, I don't see it there.
And he didn't see anything.
Yeah.
He can't see his own nose. Every time Dan Fouts does a Chiefs game, there are just fans in my mentions on Twitter that are like, Dan Fouts said this. And, you know, I can't watch the game while I'm in the press box. I can kind of listen to it on delay through, like, my smartphone.
Right.
You know, because I have, like, you know, whatever service you want to provide to watch the game. So I'm always, like, a player or two behind. And sometimes that's good because you do get a better look at the replay than what you would normally in the press box. But, man, it's hard. Look, CBS. I know he a legend. I know he was really good. But
well, listen,
there's a reason fans are like, why is Dan Fouts doing my game?
And poor Ian Eagle, who's a pro.
Who's great.
He's just,
well, wait a minute.
He's a pro.
He is a total pro, and he's a great guy. Jake has worked with him and said, you're not going to find a better guy.
He's great.
And he's a Syracuse guy, which we know, boy, that makes him great. But I'm not saying they didn't think this game was a real priority, but he called him Dave Tube.
That's not good.
Maybe
it was the only time Ian Eagle said Dave Tobe, and it was just a slip, and he really knows it's Dave Tobe.
Bet it wasn't.
But I'm thinking no.
It was crazy to come out of the locker room and be like, oh, that's why Tony Romo or Jim Nance are in the Meadowlands, because they're playing the Cowboys. When honestly, the biggest game yesterday from the AFC standpoint, which, you know, CBS has most of their games, was in Arrowhead. But, I mean, do what you will. Do what you will, CBS.
Every college and pro game is on television now.
That's true.
Like, every college game. Is there no one with any sense working these games that the top games in the National Football League could have a little more
oomph?
Yeah.
A little pizzazz.
All right. But we'll take a break. Yeah. We'll talk more about less about Sam, more about the Chiefs next. Nate Taylor is with us from The Athletic. He's brought to you by our friends at Big O Tires.
A new way to end your day. The program. Now from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer.
Which really, what's the point?
Yeah, you know? I agree.
Just go, it off the pot.
Go one way or the other.
Just do it. Right?
Just do it.
That's what they say. Since they began tracking it in 1977.
Here we go.
How many times have the Chiefs, they've been sending me scurrying to Pro Football Reference and various sites for, when was the last time this crap went down?
There's nothing dominates Seabolt's life like a crappy professional team in Kansas City.
Either be crazy good or crazy terrible.
And that's it. He's trapped in a... Oh, and he'll tell you, like, when he comes in, he lays the stat on you, and then he goes, that's right. I looked at every Chiefs game book back to 1982 to confirm this. 81. To confirm this. Wow. Every game.
It's a level of dedication
that they have
played
since 81, he went back through the game book.
To try to find.
Which is like a stat pack for those who don't know what it is.
To try to find how many times the Chiefs had gained more than 100 yards of total offense on a drive. They did it 3 times this year. They've did it 3 times in the previous 38 years, including the 116 they had on drive number 1 yesterday. The other two were back-to-back drives at Oakland.
116 yards of offense on the drive. Now, what has it? Well, because you get a
penalty.
Crap load of penalties.
You get a penalty.
And then you overcome. And you get you start with a penalty to have a long field. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can get enough penalties to go from, you know, your own 40 and have it. You start at your own 10.
Right.
Then you get a bunch of penalties along the way.
Yep.
26 yards worth.
Yeah, they went 91 yards and had 25 yards with the penalties. That's the 116.
116 yards. They've done it 3 times this year. They've done it 3 times in the previous 38.
81's how far back NFL's page has the game.
And that's because there's two things that work. One, you got to be a tremendously penalty-prone team.
Super sloppy.
Yeah. Check.
Super sloppy.
But then you got to be good enough to overcome it and go all the way down the field. So you got to be really good.
Helps out the MVP.
Check. I can't believe like Trent Green's Chiefs offenses didn't do it somewhere in there.
Yeah.
They didn't make the mistakes. That's probably what it was.
Boom. But the question here was, since
Will
they began,
Shields and Brian Waters were beating the crap
Willie,
out of guys.
Willie
Rofe
just smothering guys. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pancakes. Since they began tracking it in 1977, how many times have the Chiefs had a worse time of possession in a home game than they had yesterday? They were 21-02.
Did any of them occur in my lifetime?
I don't remember. Are you sure?
I don't remember
such a
game.
Are you sure they had it for 21? Because it didn't feel like 21. Yeah. It felt more like about 7.
You're thinking of the second half.
It was 2012. 2012 was the total yesterday.
2012. Yeah. How many times in a home game?
Yeah, the NFL began keeping this stat in 1977. Since then, how many times have they had a worse time of possession in a home game?
Was Marv Levy the head coach?
Before yesterday.
That sounds more like a John McAvick turd. I'm going to say only once.
Nate?
Twice.
Never.
Oh!
Never. They have never had a lower time of possession.
Has it happened?
Always of the never. Never of the times.
That's sickening if you're a Chiefs fan.
Their
just,
worst ever was like, they had like 17-plus in a game at the Jets in 2017, the Marcus Peters No Socks Nation game.
But
2012
I'm
was the
here,
worst
y'all.
Ever.
Oh, wait, the game's still going on?
Marcus Peters, No Socks Nation Tour.
What?
So is that a problem in your mind, Nate?
Yeah,
Taylor
that,
from
that
the
appears,
Athletics here.
That appears to be a problem.
By the way, brought to you by GoodSense. You can grab some GoodSense right now. Order online, GoodSenseSubs.com, or with the app. Remember, you get 10% if you're part of the loyalty club, so take the time to sign up, and you get 10% kickback. It's the best deal going. GoodSense, wonderful app on your phone. I use it all the time. And, of course, you can order online, GoodSenseSubs.com. Many a Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show. There's a little clickety click 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 for a quick good sense grab on the way home to watch the Chiefs. So what do you think, Nate? Is that a problem, not possessing the ball?
Yeah, and the question that I asked Eric Bieniemy that actually got him maybe off his like I'm just ready to do whatever talking point I bring to the podium.
At the end of the day, we got to execute.
Right.
At the end of the day.
They are not good, or they haven't been good, I should say, on first downs. And that's why time of possession is becoming an issue. And penalties, because they're sloppy and they're undisciplined. And they try to go for the chunk play instead of, like, I don't know, getting 5 yards or, like, keeping your man in front of you. Or, you know, not – I mean, this goes against Travis Kelce getting mugged. But other than that, they struggle in terms of are they running the ball enough on first down? And if not, are they getting easy yards in the passing game on first down?
I get your point, like, okay, but if you're not able to do it now, because about what I'm going to say, well, but haven't they been able to play it that way? Point being, well, now you don't have your left tackle and your left guard, so don't play it that way. You got to play it differently. I get that. But when they get healthy, isn't that what they did? They fired down the field all the time and say, we'll get there 1 out of 3. You're not going to stop us?
That is the belief, and that's what Andy Reid has sort of built this offense on. But you need to adjust as the game goes along. And that's why he always talks about the flow of the game. Like, hey, maybe the flow of the game is telling me we shouldn't do what we have been programmed to do for much of the offseason or what we've worked on most. I agreed with a lot of his calls when it was time to run the screen pass, but the Texans became aware of that in the fourth quarter. So the issue on the last drive – is it's first down, you get the ball, okay, DeAnthony Thomas wisely didn't run the ball out of the end zone, so you get it at the 25, they run a screen, Texans are all over it, they've basically swarmed LeSean McCoy, and the issue is Cam Irving is bear hugging the guy across from him. So even if you don't, you know, if the Texans took the penalty, it would have been first and 20. Instead, they're so confident that now we've got them in second and 14, they ain't going to run the ball, which unfortunately they did on the second play. Terrible decision. And then
– No. They got to run more.
Not in those situations.
Run more.
Not in those situations.
Why aren't they running more?
They could run more in the first half. They could run more on first down. But Andy feels like –
You mean run more in the second quarter. We're good with the fact they only ran the ball 3 times in the first quarter because they led 17-3, which again brings me back to every call is, why didn't you win?
Yeah. By and large.
Because I tweeted it out at 17-3. Here's the run pass deal. Who's got a beef? Nothing. Crickets. And then when they fall behind, we got to run the ball now. Yeah, but that's my point. Like there's a time and a place to do everything.
Right.
But you still, the Texans threw to lead. They threw the ball to get the lead.
And when they got the lead,
and they were more balanced. They did run as well.
Right.
They were more balanced. And the Chiefs need to be more balanced. And you were talking about it during the break. LeSean McCoy was actually effective
yeah. running the football.
Yeah, he had a 5.5 yards per carry, but was a ghost in the second half.
Right, and I think that's because they're not playing from in front. And so then they start to chase it. And I agree with everybody who says they need to run more. But I think you got to be careful what you wish for. They don't need to become the old Chiefs. They just need a few more carries. But I am also hip to the idea that if you don't get a first down, you don't get to get to that next play call.
Right.
And so they're not, you know.
They're limiting their own ability to be explosive because they make a mistake on first down.
Well,
or
so
they don't. Are they? Or
I think their penalties kill them.
Yes. Are they not as balanced as you want going into the drive where the defense can honor both the run and the pass?
First and 20
kills you.
You can't pop off three runs.
Nope.
You're going to have to throw it somewhere in
yes.
there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so they've got to get away. And I'll be honest with you. You know, they had a call on a screen, and maybe this is even the one you're talking about. Cam Irving and Mitchell Schwartz got called for holding.
I mean, it's a problem.
Well, but go back and look at it.
Okay.
And
I know the one.
You know, because they both drop back, and it's kind of like there's a. I think this is the one because Irving goes for the pair.
He literally hugs him. He hugs him and says, Hey man, I really appreciate you. I can't let you get close.
Well, but I think he was even so don't turn around and try to double back to the ball carrier as we're dunking it off. I want you right here.
Mm-hmm.
Not at Mahomes' ankle.
No.
But also not getting back to the next level where the running back is because we're running a screen here. And Schwartz did something kind of similar but better, and I really don't think it should have been holding on Schwartz. But, yes, I mean, that's where I kind of say, like, they'll run better, they'll throw better, they'll win better when Eric Fisher's back.
It's so apparent. It's so apparent. And, look, people want Eric Fisher to be, you know, they want him to be Orlando Pace. But, like, the difference between him and Cam Irving is pretty big.
I'm going to say this. Trent Williams – If the Redskins are asking for two firsts and Trent Williams wants $150 million, no, move on.
Yes.
But if there's a reasonable deal to be made, you may be squandering away, you know, a bye and or maybe even a home game if you end up as a wild card because you don't have that left tackle. I mean, look, let's talk personnel. Let's take a break and then we'll talk personnel.
One fun stat before we leave.
Is it really fun?
It's pretty unfun, but it is amazing.
Okay.
They were 1 yard away yesterday from being minus 140 in the net rushing, other team minus yours, in back-to-back games. Would have been the first time since 08. Would have been just the second time since 88 that they were minus 140 net rushing against their opponent in back-to-back games.
Okay, and can we point out, though, that they lost each game by a score?
Yes, and right? led.
That's the Seth Kaiser point.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not.
You're not getting
never
blown
run
out.
The ball,
right. Yeah.
And don't worry about stopping the run, despite what some Jeff try to paint it as. The point is, like, to go out and maul someone, you don't do it by running the ball.
Correct.
Right. That's just running's a facet to it. But just going out and dominating the run game over your opponent does not kick your opponent's tail. It doesn't do it.
Nope.
That's the point. Right? I want the Chiefs to stop the run. I want the Chiefs to run more. Really what I want them to do is do even better in the passing attack so they have more first downs to get to more runs.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think they will get to more runs if they get rid of the stupid penalties and complete a few more passes, then I think it'll get there. You know, I mentioned this in the Titan loss in the playoffs. Everyone's like, why didn't they run the ball more with Kareem Hunt? I said they had the exact ratio of runs
last
in the
year.
Second half
last year.
2 years ago in the second half as they did in the first half. They didn't convert first downs. And the problem is because you find yourself at 3rd and 7, and you're not going to run. And if you don't complete a pass on 3rd and 7, you don't get to call another running play.
That's right.
And you also kind of need to be in the game score-wise. So.
And you need to give your defense – you need to get a first down because there's no – honestly, there may have been an argument to say just go for it because, you know, it surprised me, and I wrote this in The Athletic. Fans started leaving with 5:03 left. And there's a good argument to be made there. Your defense is toast. And they're, I mean, you might as well just go for it now, because what happened was you never got the ball back, because the defense has been on the field almost the entire fourth quarter, almost most of, as you know, Curtis alluded to, the fact that you were being dominated 2-1 in time of possession.
How about this one? So snaps, not plays. There were 83 offensive plays for the Texans, but with the penalties, there were 93 snaps. Okay? The middle linebacker, 56.
Ben Neiman.
Ben Neiman played 90 of 93
yes.
defensive snaps and 13 more on special teams.
Yeah.
He was on the field
the whole game.
103 plays.
Yeah. And it makes, and that's an indictment of Reggie Ragland, because Reggie Ragland, as Curtis mentioned, I think earlier in the show, the only guy who got a tackle for loss yesterday was Reggie Ragland on 3rd and 1 before the Texans sort of ended the game on 4th and 3.
They ended the game the next play.
More personnel talk with Nate Taylor next here on the program.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Our conversation with Nate Taylor is brought to you by my friends at Big O Tires. They take care of me and my family. In our times of need, you got a big O no with your car? Get a big O yes at Big O Tires. Great deal right now on tires as well. Go to BigOTires.com to find the location nearest you. Nate, let's talk about the personnel.
Yes.
I mentioned last night the two most expensive players on the Chiefs defense.
Uh-huh.
Cap-wise, are Justin Houston and Eric Berry. That's why it's not all Brett Veach's fault, right?
He wasn't the one that handed those players the contract.
Right. So that's $14 million that could have been spent on defensive players that weren't. The defense is also only 29% of the cap. I think it's 42 or something is spent on offense, 43, 44, something like that right now spent on offense. And you have special teams, and you have the dead money
right
as well that mm-hmm. factors
that calculates
into that mix.
It all out, right.
But I mean, there's no doubt that people having cause for concern about some of the personnel decisions are absolutely justified. There are some moves right now that ain't looking so good.
Yeah, and my buddy Seth Kaiser wrote about this in The Athletic today, and I would encourage our listeners to check it out. So much of this offseason was devoted to changing defensive scheme under Steve Spagnuolo and getting the players necessary to make that scheme work better than what was shown last year. Frank Clark, while being consistent in the running game and not being the worst run defender on the team, has not gotten to the quarterback. And Frank Clark sort of alluded to it yesterday after the game. I can't rush the passer if we can't get to third down.
Right.
And on the 12-play game-winning drive by the Texans, the Texans never faced a third down. With Juan Thornhill, he has improved in a way that is really encouraging for the Chiefs as a free safety who can make plays on the ball while the ball's in the air. Tyrann Mathieu, as you've mentioned earlier, Seren, has been probably the most consistent veteran defender on the team, but it's a lot to ask of him to guard tight ends, to guard the middle of the field, and come up in run support and be like just amazing at that. Their issue is the linebackers. Anthony Hitchens, as of right now, is the second highest player on the team's salary cap, along with sort of – he and Tyrann Mathieu are pretty close to one another. But Anthony Hitchens is being paid to be really, really productive, and he has yet to do that. And Seth sort of mentions that out, even when he was healthy before he got injured with the groin against the Colts. They have issues, and they can't trade away draft picks, I don't think, at this point, just because – as you understand the cap moving next year, Patrick Mahomes is going to take up more of the cap, and they need to get younger defenders who are on cheap, you know, contract sort of controlled salaries moving forward. And if you're a fan of the Chiefs, start looking at every good linebacker in college, because that needs to be addressed.
Well, and every good corner.
And every good corner as well. And perhaps this is an issue where it seems like they have swung and missed, is Derek Nnadi and Colin Saunders. They played, they started, they gave up 116 yards yesterday. Chris Jones is necessary for this defense to be competitive. He will come back at some point. We don't really know when. But I think the biggest issue is that their linebackers are not up to where you need to be in today's NFL with Darren Lee missing a boatload of tackles yesterday, and he acknowledged that. With Damian Wilson sort of coming back to average or even below average to some degree, Anthony Hitchens is out. We've mentioned Ben Neiman before, but he's a core special teams player and a guy who can really do well in coverage when it's clearly a passing down. It's a lot to ask of him on an every down standpoint. And Reggie Ragland is basically, you know, in purgatory. That being said, the biggest swings and misses are the two draft picks right now, with Derek Nnadi, who's not as improved as he was a year ago, and Colin Saunders, who looks to be more of a project, and maybe you'll see something in year two, but as we saw yesterday, was just not ready for sort of what was being asked of him on a consistent basis for, like you said, over 80 snaps.
The problem to me on defense is, like, where do you start?
I think you got to start with the linebackers. I think the secondary could get better, but I think we're going to see over the course of the year that teams are going to start to scheme to go after Darren Lee, to go after Damian Wilson. I mean, it was pretty apparent that that's what the Texans did yesterday, and Steve Spagnuolo said, yes, they went after the perimeter, and we got the guys to get there, but if they don't make the tackles, then those short gains become long gains, and then we can't get off the field, and that sort of negates – see the effectiveness of Tyrann Mathieu in the back end and the ability for Frank Clark to rush after the quarterback.
I like Steve Spagnuolo. I like Brett Veach, the guys. You know, I like Bob Sutton. But
yeah.
I got to a point where I had to say, listen, Bob Sutton's job needs to lose it. But I don't think we're there yet with either Veach or Spagnuolo.
No.
But I think right now the injuries for a lot of things, one, chasing points and different stuff like that, but Spagnuolo does, to me, seem to get guys there. And their secondary, you know, I you can't deny they've given up 31. That was their biggest point total.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lost a game where they gave up, what was it, 19?
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's different. Those results are better.
And the thing I've always said about the defense was, could they be better in the red zone? And if you look at the red zone numbers yesterday, they were pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, they actually got turnovers and stops when it mattered. It's just the game-winning drive was in the red zone, and ultimately they wore out.
Nate, great stuff. Enjoy your trip to Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk to you on the Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show.
Thursday night. It's going to be here. Like, I need to ice. I'm not ready.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, baseball playoffs. How many players have had multiple walk-off hits against the same team in postseason play? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.